Hey everyone, this week Sam couldn't make it due to scheduling conflicts, but Kellum and I went ahead and did an episode anyway. So enjoy this episode. This one is just Kellum and Chris. Throwback to early 2022. Love you.
Welcome back to How to Be Queer. I'm Kellum.
And I'm Chris. And today we're talking about pronouns.
Hey Chris.
Yes.
What are your pronouns?
My pronouns. Well, such a good question. My pronouns are essentially all pronouns.
Wow.
I mean, you can use whatever you want. Like if someone were to come up to me and use like neo pronouns and stuff, I think that would be cool too. I'm not like opposed to it. I just don't like say that one. I think like in my signature, I say they, she, he in that order. And it's because he deserves to come last. My apologies, patriarchy, but
we don't apologize.
I'm not sorry.
Yeah, we're not sorry.
You've had enough time in the spotlight and everybody uses you all the time. So I'm putting they and she before you because
third place
priority. Yeah. Yeah.
So all right.
What about yours? What are yours?
Excellent question. Thank you so much. My pronouns are they, them.
Okay.
And it's interesting because I'm now getting to a point where like they, them are my pronouns, but other pronouns don't bother me as much as they used to. And I have some feelings on that, but most of those feelings are meh. And also I'm fine. Like I, myself, I feel confident and valid enough within my own little bubble of Kellum that I feel like I don't need to be fighting everyone all the time. But when I first came out, you used the wrong pronouns for me. Mm-mm.
I feel you. Now, why are we talking about this?
The day after this episode is released.
So October 18th is when this is going to be released. So tomorrow will be October 19th.
It is Pronoun Day, which is so cool because despite the level of education that so many people have, it almost seems as if they didn't know pronouns existed until trans people were like, I'm going to use different pronouns. Please use them accordingly.
Yeah.
And everyone was up in arms like, oh my gosh. I don't have pronouns. Yes, Bill, you do have pronouns. You obviously missed that class in grade 2, but that's fine. We're here to educate. We are here to share the knowledge. And so Pronoun Day is to raise awareness and to also celebrate people who have come out with new pronouns, who, yeah, like you said, if someone came up to me and used neo pronouns for me, I'd be like, okay, go off. That's cool. I don't think I'm creative enough to come up with neo pronouns for myself. So.
Well, you know what I like about neo pronouns that I think is very interesting is that like when people are using they, them pronouns, they have to conjugate verbs in a plural way, which is fine. It's not that much of an inconvenience. You'll be okay. You'll get through it. But, and it takes only a little bit of time to respect someone. However, when someone uses like je pronouns, then you can just literally replace like he or she, right? And it can be used in singular form. So that's why I kind of like those and I like the idea of them. It's just that I don't want to have to explain it every single time. And like they, them is kind of used in general culture now. So like I'm fine with they, them pronouns. I'm seeing that maybe in the future we might, like language might continue to evolve and we might use they pronouns, but conjugate the verb in a singular way when we're talking about just one person and then conjugate it in a plural way when we're talking about more than one person to make it a little bit more specific. And I mean, that might be an adaptation that we do or something else might happen. We have no idea, like whatever. Language is adaptive and it grows, right?
At the same time, I also like, for those of you who don't know, one of my degrees is in English literature. I would say for 60% of my undergrad, I studied Shakespeare. Shakespeare uses a singular they all the frickin' time.
Yeah.
And no one batted an eye. Like I had no one, and I wasn't out in university as non-binary, but no one batted an eye when we had to recite poetry. We had to recite prose and people were using they pronouns to talk about the characters and the protagonists. So it's quite interesting to me that you think that we might get to a place where we might have a singular and a plural they, because realistically we've always had them.
They. Oh yeah, for sure.
They.
And yeah, exactly. We've had it. I mean, at least, I mean, the thing is with all words, all of them are invented, right? Like she pronouns were invented in like the 10th century. It's not like they always existed, right? Like, so
she's
like
so wild.
I know, right? It's just interesting because, like, you know, as much as there is, there, like, we could just get rid of the like people who are having problem with it by just conjugating in a different way. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. when people are like, oh, it can't be used singularly. Okay, well then, you know, we'll just keep adapting because that's what queer people do. We'll adapt. Fine. I don't want to have to adapt to you, but if that's the complaint that you have, okay, well then let's change it. Because I don't mind, and it might sound weird at first, but everything sounds weird at first. Like, it's just, you said that you haven't always been out as non-binary. I mean, I guess obviously, because people aren't just like, well, you're born non-binary. I don't know what to say there, but I guess you technically, like, everyone who is non-binary has come out as non-binary. So, well, not necessarily. I'm sorry, I take that back too. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
You didn't always know that you were non-binary, even though you possibly have always been non-binary.
Yeah.
So what's that been like for you? How did you come to find that you use they, them pronouns?
Okay, so two things there. I think what you just said, the how did I come to know I was non-binary? Without understanding that piece of language, that phrase, I kind of always knew. I didn't know what it was. I was, again, raised in a very religious home, very like gender roles, very much when it came to the way I dressed and how I needed to present myself, not so much in what was expected of me, like out in the world or like in the home, but like very much, you know, where I dressed to church and where, you know, your hair in curls or braids or whatever, all of that. And I would come home from church every single Sunday with like mud stains all over my bright yellow dresses, which is like a very specific memory. And I remember like screaming at my parents that I just wanted to wear pants like the boys and like run around with my shirt off, because our church had like a backfield and I wanted to go play football. And like, I very much had like a huge tomboy phase that turned into like, I think, a typical millennial, like wannabe punk phase. Like, I was definitely a scene kid. And then when I first came out, I came out as a lesbian and very much fell into like the more masculine lesbian stereotype, but I could beat a face. And so that also was like very juxtaposing for my, like for me to look in the mirror and look at my wardrobe and be like, oh, you look like a boy from the neck down. And I'd have like the perfect winged eyeliner and like contoured face for the gods. And to me, I was like, I don't see people like this. So maybe this is the wrong way that I should be, maybe I should be presenting differently. And I met a friend 6 years ago-ish, and they used they, them pronouns. And our styles were like pretty similar, the way we dressed, except I had a lot more of like a feminine edge to it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And as I got to know them, I realized that they identified as non-binary. And I was like, huh. And we got to talking and I was like, what does that mean to you? And they explained it. And I was like, oh, cool, me too. And it was kind of just like this light bulb went off and I was like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, this is a phrase that could literally describe my entire relationship with myself. And that's how I came to use they, them pronouns. And that's how I came to use the identifier of non-binary. But when people ask me about it now, part of me wants to just be like, actually, I'm anti-binary because...
Yeah, like, that's what my non-binary means. And I love that.
I love that too. I do, because it's both and. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about being non-binary. And anti-binary to me, I want people to look at me and be like, what is my definition of masculinity and why do they do it differently? And what's my definition of femininity and why does that person do it differently? Because I think those two things, if we just deconstruct those two things, we can better reconstruct our relationship with ourselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's me. You said that that's kind of how your non-binariness shows up.
My non-binariness is anti-binary. Like, is that just like you, I probably have always known that I'm non-binary or, you know, anti-binary, or just like essentially was like, I am who I am and you're getting me regardless. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always kind of been like that. My sibling has always been like that. We've always just kind of, like, even when we were younger, we used to, like, people would say, oh, you like to play soccer, Carling. And then, like, Christopher, you like to do insert girly thing here. And so then we would be like, oh, yeah, well, that's just because we think we were born in the wrong bodies. And so, like, we would say shit like that all the time and just be like, I was supposed to be the girl and Carling was supposed to be the boy. And, like, you know, even back then, like, that's not necessarily what we actually thought, but we were trying mm-hmm. to put words to what our experience was, because we both noticed some things that wasn't necessarily, you know, fitting. But with myself, growing up, I was a stronger advocate for others than I was for myself. And I didn't necessarily recognize it in myself. I stood up for gay rights before I even knew that I was gay. And then once I figured out I was gay, I was like, oh.
That pipeline is so short.
Yeah,
exactly. That pipeline is like less than a full train stop.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. And then once I started to look a little bit further into, like, why are you supporting, like, they, them so hard? Why are you supporting gender, like, this kind of thing? Like, it's because I am anti-binary, and the way mm-hmm. that I have come to understand gender, it's far more complex than just two options. Two options makes absolutely no sense once you understand what gender means. And so, like, to me, everyone is non-binary. Mm-hmm. Every single person, because every single moment of every single day you are going through both masculine and feminine things. Like, there might be, but in different combinations. And, like, mm-hmm. why is it just those two things? Those are not just the two options. And why did we put those into these random boxes? It makes no sense. People just are who they are. And just because they correlate sometimes, you know, to penises and vaginas, doesn't mean that that's always right. And it doesn't have to be, because we are complex.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Nature is queer. We're queer. Anyway.
Nature is super queer.
Yeah, super queer. I guess that's not the end of my story, though.
That's the end of your story.
Well, like, how did I get to use all pronouns? Essentially, like, even when I did come out as non-binary, and just before that, I was trying to convince myself. I was essentially like, well, I'm a cis man, like, blah, 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 blah. And then I was kind of like, well, if you break it down a little bit, if you look at it a little bit too hard, the thing that I think about me was that I used to think, before I started to see more representation of what non-binary meant, more representation that I understood and the variety, I understood non-binary to mean someone who's androgynous, and that's not what it means. I think that a lot more people would be non-binary if they actually knew what it meant, because to me, I didn't really realize that I was or could be non-binary until I saw Jonathan Van Ness come out as non-binary, and they used all pronouns as well. And I was kind of like, oh, it can be like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's who I am. And then I also was thinking to myself, like, when I was younger, there was a kid who was gay. Nobody knew he was gay, but he wasn't beaten up or anything like that. He wasn't bullied for being gay, but I was. And so what was the difference? Well, the difference was gender. It wasn't sexuality, because we had the same sexuality, but the difference was gender and expression and things like that. And so, like, looking back on that, you start to realize, like, oh, I am a little bit more feminine than people expect me to. I don't fit into boxes, and that has caused, you know, this, this, and this. And so looking at that point, I came out right after the big movement of, like, in 2020, after the movement to, like, diversify our feeds, because, you know, there was a big social justice movement essentially happening. And so I diversified my feed enough to see representation being like, yeah, non-binary means whatever non-binary means to you. Like, that's non-binary is just not man and woman, but that's it. So I was like, oh, actually, you know what, that's me. And so I came out. At the time, I was using just he, him pronouns. And then a little bit later, I was like, no, they actually kind of applies to me too. So I'll use he, they pronouns. And that stuck for a while. And then I realized that she also works, that I'm not as uncomfortable as I thought I was, because I used to be, because people mm-hmm. would call me she and misgender me, but that wasn't my truth at the time, but now it is. I don't mind being called she at any point. If someone calls me she, that's like, what an honor. What an honor. So I use all pronouns because no pronouns are offensive to me.
I love that. Yeah. I think diversifying our feeds in 2020, it did a lot in so many different ways for representation online. And I think one of the biggest things for me that it did was it also showed me different, like you, different ways to be non-binary. Hmm. And I had never really androgynous really wasn't a word that I knew well until I met my partner, who for a very long time, others and themselves would describe their style as androgynous. And I now have so many non-binary and gender non-conforming people on my feed that I think it's so amazing. I can scroll literally for 15 minutes. And in 15 minutes, I could come across a dozen different people who all identify as non-binary or gender non-conforming, and they all look so different.
Yeah.
And I think I know one of the biggest hurdles that I'm seeing now is like, there's not a lot of plus size people that are being represented and being shown out there. And that's one of the other things that I'm now looking forward. And part of me is like, oh, I should probably like tap into that community more and like see who's out there. Because I think, you know, on top of like the pretty androgynous style that I think so many of us saw as like non-binary, it's also this like slim and like athletic, the athlete, the non-binary to athlete, and like the trans person to athlete pipeline is also very short. I feel like I remember coming out when I first came out as a lesbian, everyone who I found on Instagram who was a lesbian was also like a fitness, you know, a fitness creator or like a personal trainer or like a bodybuilder. And I was like, well, fuck, guess I gotta hit the gym.
We love you, Jalene Harris.
We do. Just kidding. But I think the diversifying of our feeds can only go so far. And that's why I think days like Pronoun Day are so interesting and cool, because it gets people talking about things, because maybe they'll see it on a calendar, maybe they'll see it or they'll hear it on the radio or something like that. And I think for people who aren't as lucky as you and I are to have that diversification on our feed, hearing about it and the more they hear about it means that hopefully they'll start talking about it. I think there's so many people who I have met, and I mean, you know, a lot of really cool people too, but I feel like there's so many people that I have met that I never would have guessed that they're non-binary. And I think that's the most fucking cool thing ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, you just, I don't know what it is, but like, you just got 10 times cooler as soon as I found that out. Because there's like, because it challenges my own conception and like preconceptions of what my community looks like.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm seeing like a whole, like a different side of the prism.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's cool. Our community is very diverse by nature of just being a catch-all group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it's just cool. Because it's National Pronoun Day or whatever it is, international, regional, municipal, who knows? I'm just kidding. It's Pronoun Day. So what are some tips for people?
For the sisses. Here's one right off the bat. You're gonna fuck up.
Yeah.
You are. We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Still do.
I still do.
I misgender myself all the time.
Like, and you know what? That's the thing that people don't talk about. And I don't know about anyone else. I have a continuous internal monologue. And the first year after I came out, if I wasn't conscious about what I was saying to myself, I would misgender myself. And that felt so, so terrible. So like, for all our sisses out there, you're gonna fuck up. Here's what you do. You apologize, immediately correct yourself, and carry on.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. And like, this one's just for like, this little tip here is just for like my pals who are using new pronouns, who are using different pronouns from what people have known them as before. Don't say it's okay.
Yeah.
As soon as someone apologizes, don't jump in and say, oh, it's okay, I know it's hard. They know it's hard. You know it's hard. They have to get better, but it's not okay. It's not okay. Yeah. And one of the biggest things for me is that I graduated high school a decent number of years ago. And since then, I know. But since then, some of my teachers have gotten married and their names have changed. And it's funny for those of you who know me and my story a little bit, but my mom called me out on it because I went home for Thanksgiving and I was like, oh, my mom teaches at my old high school and she's talking about something. I'm like, I have no idea who that is. She's like, oh, you know, your, I don't know, biology teacher. And I said, oh, so-and-so. My mom was like, why can't you get it? They've gotten married. Their name's changed. And I was like, oh.
Hold me accountable, mom. Okay.
Sorry. Sorry. And corrected myself.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, these are all cishet people. So very different.
But well, it's a different experience. But yeah,
it's totally different experience. But in that second, I was like, oh, I should do better at like remembering that, you know, all these people who like sculpted my mind for 4 years have changed their name and like maybe got married and stuff. But don't say it's okay. And it will get better. I promise it will. It feels like it doesn't for a long time, sometimes for a very long time. I have a whole lot, but what about you?
Well, I would like to tell the cis people that they have pronouns too. And
yep.
You know, just because you think that it's a thing that trans people do, or just because you think that it's a thing that non-binary people do, that they need to put pronouns in their bio so that we know, so that we can like let people know that like, oh, these are my pronouns. It would be really nice if you could respect me. Just because you feel like people should know your pronoun, that's actually also adding to transphobia. And I hate to say it, but you are essentially saying like, you should know what I am based on what I look like. And that is not the truth for most trans people, mm-hmm. or, you know, some trans people, even if it's like one trans person, you know, it's not the truth. The truth is that you can't tell what gender someone is. You can't tell what pronouns people use by looking at them. You can't. Mm-hmm. And so you have to ask. The best way to ask would be to introduce yourself and your pronouns and then say, what's your name? And hopefully they reciprocate. If not, you can ask, what are your pronouns? It's not rude to ask, what are your pronouns? It feels like it is because some cis people get angry about it. But the reason that they're getting angry is because they think that you think that they are trans, and that is transphobic. So there's a lot kind of rolled up in it. So if you are afraid to do it, check yourself, mm-hmm. and be like, am I in a position of privilege where I, you know, I'm able to push the agenda a little bit? And if you can, that's actually a really good thing. And I would say that it's not, for example, if you put it into your pronouns, into your email signature or your bio or something like that, if you put them into there, it's not virtue signaling. That's not the reason that you do it. It's not about your virtues. And unfortunately, if someone thinks that it's about virtue signaling, then that's on them. But it's not about virtue signaling. It's essentially saying, we want you to feel safe. We want everyone to feel safe because we know that everybody has pronouns and people get to choose them because this is 2022. That would be my biggest tip to cis people. And then my tip to the trans community on Pronouns Day is if people are not respecting you, maybe find some new friends.
Amen. Amen.
If someone is being really rude about it and just won't do it and all those kinds of things, maybe they're not the people for you. And that's okay, because you have an entire community of people that loves you just because you exist. And hopefully you can find those people. Because we're here. We're out here waiting for you.
We are. Yeah, I think that's a really hard one, is calling your friends on it. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm obnoxious, so it was a little bit easier for me. And I still do. I still do. I still have to call. My parents don't use my pronouns. My siblings both would prefer to use my name rather than my pronouns. But interestingly enough, they have started trying to use my partner's pronouns.
Interesting.
Okay. Which I find interesting. That is a hard journey too. So to all of our siblings out there whose families or potentially close friends or, you know, other chosen family members are having a hard time, I am right there with you. It has gotten better. I don't get my dead name on my Christmas presents anymore. I don't get my dead name on my cards anymore. And for the most part, my parents do catch themselves, but the pronouns thing, that has been the hardest.
Yeah.
And for them, again, religion, it's very hard to deconstruct the binary.
Yes, it is.
Very difficult. And, you know, it's interesting because I actually, as I shared in the last episode, I did a pronoun workshop at my work.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things I said when I was giving tips at the end of my presentation was, if you find yourself continually misgendering someone, think about why that is. Are you not taking enough time to think before you speak? Or do you look at this person or hear this person speak and automatically assign them a gender, which is wrong?
Yeah.
We know that. And it's very difficult to get beyond that until you're in it. It's one of those things where until you see it, you don't see it. But once you do, you see it everywhere.
Yes.
And that is one of the hardest things that I wasn't told about being part of this community.
Yeah.
Was once you find yourself within and without, you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I went to the dollar store for gift bags the other day, and they had blue and green and pink and purple. And automatically the person beside me was like, oh, Timmy, go get gift bags for your sister and her friends. Make sure you grab the pink and purple ones. And it boggles my mind, but
it's very interesting. And this is wisdom that I hope, you know, being non-binary gives to people as they grow up, is that it is actually a superpower too, because when you are noticing all these things, you are able to help people on their journey and their understanding of what gender means. Because like, for most of my life, for example, I've been very good at understanding relationships in gender, even though I haven't necessarily had a significant relationship in my life. When people are trying to discuss like things about gender, I've just kind of always understood. And it's kind of like this like way of seeing the world that we get to like impart onto, you know, like it's not exactly 100% sure what I'm trying to say, but like it's just a unique way of viewing the world. And I hope that people see it as a gift and not necessarily something that is always a burden, because it's not always a burden. Mm-hmm. It is sometimes, because it's everywhere. But
and
it's
a lot of work.
Yep.
It is continually work. Every time I get on, I don't know about you, Chris, every time I get on the phone with someone, every time I meet someone new, every time I go to pick up my prescription, I out myself.
Yep.
I have to explain myself. I have to validate myself externally in a way that I never thought I would have to do. But yep. I will say it is a lot easier. I don't get frustrated as much as I used to, but it's still there. And that's a self-preservation thing. I can't put any more energy towards this. And I think you come out as non-binary, and then you come out over and over and over again. But one day it kind of just hits you that it's not you coming out, it's everyone else getting on.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's very true. Because like that's really actually really profound, because like it really is, this is my journey and I get to decide what my journey is. And that's kind of the essence of non-binary is, and anti-binary especially, is that we get to actually craft who we are. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea behind it, is that there aren't any rules based on like, just because I have a penis, I have to do this. No, don't tell me that. No, absolutely not. It's like, it's really cool because you get to like forge forward, and eventually you get the confidence to be like, no, this is who I am. If you don't like it, then, oh, well, I don't care. Like I am who I am, and you can't really like, what are you going to do? Coming out on the daily basis thing is actually really interesting too, because as a teacher, and as a supply teacher, for example, like even this year, I'm still supply teaching because one of my periods is free. And so I still supply at certain points in every single classroom I go in, because I use a different honorific. I use MX. I have to come out. Mm-hmm. And so I essentially am saying, like, I'm using this, I don't have to, but automatically I'm using mix and asking them to use it. I have to say something about it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of kids don't really get it yet. Eventually yep. they will, but I'm going to have to be the person that kind of breaks the ground to do it. And that's fine. But mm-hmm. it has gotten so easy that I barely even fear doing it anymore. Yeah. And so the fear is gone because I've done it so many times. And now I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, yeah, this is who I am. If you don't call me Mix, whatever. I don't really care because actually I use all pronouns. And so like, mm-hmm. you can call me Mr. Fee and I'm not going to be upset about it. So like, you know, you essentially like are letting people in mm-hmm. and those who mistreat you, you just push them back out.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's so profound. I like that.
Yeah. I find it really interesting when people use your pronouns and then you can start seeing the light bulbs happening every once in a while. I had a moment,
that's cool.
Like you said, you get to help people on their journey. And for me, my journey is for the girls, gays and bays, like yeah. 100%. But I work with a lot of cis het men. And I have to say, it's been really cool to watch their journey and their little light bulbs go off too. Most of them aren't much older than me, but they've been working in corporate world for so long. And it's creative. Like, that's the thing. Like, my industry is very creative. And yet for some of them, this is the first time that this aspect of their brain is being turned on. And it's very interesting for me to watch it. And it's fun because I'm getting to witness them break down some of their walls that they had around masculinity and femininity. And it's all happening silently. We're not having conversations about them. I'm having these silent notifications go off in my head where I'm like, oh, so-and-so wore a cardigan into the office today. And it's a long cardigan. And like, he jokingly said he stole it from his wife's closet because it's comfortable.
And now he's got the like freedom and ability to be able to feel like he can do that because there are no rules.
Honestly, there are none whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much this really lends itself to pronouns, but I have fallen in love with fashion again.
I love that.
And that has been so freeing as someone who's...
What's interesting about pronouns is that they are essentially a form of gender expression. And so is fashion, right? So like along the same veins, what's so exciting about realizing you're non-binary is like, oh my God, I don't have to listen to these stupid ass rules. Like, I actually get to like shirk them all and go and do what I want to do. And so you get to actually start to mm-hmm. actually experiment. So that's so cool. Tell me.
Yeah. More. So you know what? It's wild because I kind of always have had this like dream aesthetic. I'm starting to build it into my wardrobe, but what I'm realizing is this dream aesthetic that I had built out, literally some of my Pinterest boards are like from the 2010s. Actually, some of them might be from before that. That's embarrassing. But like, they're so gendered. And I at the beginning of the summer, I started doing this where I started really evaluating what I was wearing. And I was like, ooh, we need to like shake this up a little bit. But then I thought to myself, I'm not going to shake it up because I'm going to wear both. And I'm going to wear a suit jacket with a silk skirt, and I'm gonna wear, you know, a men's suit with fucking stilettos, and yes. we've done all this work ourselves. We come out as non-binary and people are like, oh cool, you've done all this work, you're set. Hell no. I've been out as non-binary for, I don't even remember coming out as non-binary, if I'm being quite honest with you. It kind of just happened.
Yeah,
it kind of just, I had a friend who was like, these are my pronouns, I'm non-binary. I was like, that sounds cool. And like gradually, I think over like the next like 6 to 8 months, I started telling people and whatever. But because I think it happened so gradually, there were certain things in my brain that I didn't really have to come to terms with. And so when you come out, people, mostly cis people are like, oh, so you know what you are, you know where you stand. Bitch, we're all floating. None of us are standing anywhere.
No.
Like, we're really not. And even if I was yesterday, I was someone else. And that's, like you said, that's kind of the superpower, is however I show up.
Yeah.
I show up.
Yep.
And that's been pretty freaking cool. Your fashion sense has always has always been so rad. And I think it's always so fun to see what you're doing. So I feel like that probably, did that come easy for you after you came out as non-binary?
No. Well, no, I just leaned into what I've just, my own life philosophy is like, lean into what you love. And when I, before coming out as non-binary, essentially I had limited myself to being like, don't lean into the things that you love, because like wearing a skirt, Christopher, is going to be harmful. It's not going to be something that you're going to be okay doing. Like, someone's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Like things like that, that like the voices that were in my head saying like, it's not okay to do the things that you want to do, that you would love to do, like grow out your hair and have your own, you know, long hair that you get to take care of because you've always loved long hair. Just fucking do it, Christopher. But no, I got bullied out of it, you know? And so like, I think that coming out as non-binary is just the first step in your non-binary journey. Mm-hmm. It's literally just the first step. And as soon as you take that step, you have to decide what kind of non-binary you are. Like, sure, it could come easily to you. Like, you could be like, I'm non-binary and therefore I have no gender. But then once you, like, I think that the more that you explore, the more that you see that gender is so much more. Like, it should be an experimental thing. It should be something mm-hmm. that is creative. It should be expressive. It should be like the way that humans get to tell people the world who they are. And right now it's not, because we limit each other and it sucks. But you know, being able to lean into what you like is essentially why I wanted to like, or became non-binary. And then like that action of being non-binary, like now I feel more secure in what I wear on a day-to-day basis. And I feel like it reflects who I am more than before, because I have experimented a little bit and gotten to a place where I'm like, yeah, actually, you know what, the parts of me that are feminine are earrings and hair. I don't necessarily need to wear dresses in order for that to happen and still feel validated in myself, but I can still wear a dress and really be comfortable in it. It just depends on the type of dress, like you know, and you have to live it in order to experience that. And so I feel really blessed in the fact that, first of all, I don't think I would have been as comfortable doing it at school, and so it was nice that I had that retail job at Body Shop where they were like, yeah, be who you are. And I was like, okay, well then this is literally a beauty industry thing. So I'm going to wear like some really cool feminine things and like experiment there. And it was really nice to be able to do that too. So, but generally I've just always kind of, with fashion, used it to express myself, but I tried to work within the limits that I had. And now that it's limitless, it just got a little bit, you know, it elevated a little more.
Yeah. I always felt like that's a lie. I was always told that I pushed the boundaries with my wardrobe when I was younger. I remember like it was yesterday. I was probably 15 or 16. And one of the elders in my family's church came up to my mother, and I was friends with their daughter and still friends with her actually. And one of the elders came up to my mom and was like, have you seen what your kid is wearing? Like, you should really, like, I hope you're praying for them, kind of thing. And my mom was like, mind your own business.
Good.
I have to say, despite all of the hardships that my queerness and my transness have brought out in my relationship with my family, that's one thing I always had. I mean, my parents wouldn't let me out of the house if I was wearing a skirt too short, or, you know, my chest, formerly known as tits, were out. But I wore tights and combat boots and ripped jeans and ties and mini skirts to church all the time. The only rule was no pajamas. And I was like, that's a lot of room. Okay.
I can work with those.
I can work with those limitations. And it's interesting because it took me, I feel like now I'm kind of waving at those boundaries as I'm passing them by. A little bit. And I'm like, all right. Like, one of my favorite outfits these days are like these blue, like Dickies work pants and like a white tank top.
I love that.
And I feel like it looks so greasy. And I feel like I should be like working in my dad's garage with like a handkerchief out of my back pocket. But I'll like, you know, throw on some mascara and some blush and some lipstick and go walk the dog.
Yeah.
And I think it's so funny. Like, I think it's so funny to leave my house and like look around and be like, you're these people that I'm seeing are still falling for this like gendered wardrobe charade. Like, it's entertaining to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is my own personal thing, is I think one of the best things about being non-binary, and like, don't do this until you're ready for anyone who's listening, because like, it's scary as hell. It really is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But once you feel comfortable to go out in with your pronouns and go out with your fashion choices, your hair choices, or your earring choices. Chris and I both have an extensive earring collection. So like, right. that's a thing we bond on.
Yeah.
Go out with the intention that you're going to make people think about their gender.
Yeah.
And
be
anti-binary. And like, I don't know where I saw it or heard it. It was probably a TikTok sound, if I'm being honest, but it was basically like, if I don't confuse at least 6 straight people today, there was no point in me leaving the house.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's a wrap.
Amen. Gender is political. You heard it here first.
Gender is so political. And if you don't believe me, well, I'm not going to get political, but actually I am. If you don't believe that gender is political, look at what is happening all around the world, because people are taking back their freedom over what has been expected of their gender for years. I mean, you don't have to look very far. I promise you that. If we really want to talk about it, the fact that we have gender at all was a white man's invention to keep people in line.
Yeah.
It really was.
And sell more shit.
So much.
Yeah.
So much more.
Like, it's sure, it could be a fundamental way that we kept groups together in the past when we were hunter-gatherers. And all that kind of thing. But even then, it was more complicated than that. And even now, we aren't hunter-gatherers. So we have, to be honest, in my own humble opinion, have evolved past the need for it. And it is not something that helps to hold us together anymore.
No.
It just holds us back. And it damages yes. people, as mm-hmm. can be evidenced by all people who have experienced gender violence.
Yeah.
So let's break it down, break the binary. We are anti-binary, gender is political, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's also such a construct. It is a captive construct.
Yeah.
So we encourage you to safely break out of it.
Yeah, deconstruct.
Completely.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly pop in here and just clarify something. What we mean by white men invented gender is we mean white men invented the binary. Gender itself was invented by humans and having society. We don't want to deconstruct gender, we want to reconstruct gender without a binary, because gender is far more exciting when it's not about the binary. All right, love you, bye. See you next time on How to Be Queer.